Hello and welcome to this podcast produced by the Northern Region of the University and College Union. My name's John Bryan, and coming up in this episode, I'll be speaking to Joyce McAndrew about negotiation. Joyce has recently conducted an online training session with some of our reps in further education colleges, but this session will be of interest to any trade union rep who is negotiating a policy or looking to make changes to a policy with any institution, whether it is a university or a college or indeed any organisation at all. We hope that you find the tips that Joyce and I talk about useful. Also, coming up later on, we've got news of the ballots that have taken place in some of the further education colleges in the country and some news of some great successes. Hope that you enjoy this podcast, and please don't forget to like, favourite, subscribe, review and share this episode and in general the podcast that we put out so that more people can find what we are saying. Enjoy the episode. So I'm joined by Joyce McAndrew, who's a regional support official for the University and College Union in the Northern Region, and she's going to be talking to us about negotiating a policy. Welcome to the podcast, Joyce.
Thanks, John. Good morning.
And I know that you have done a session online recently with some of our representatives in FE colleges. Can you just talk to us about how that went and the sorts of things that people need to be aware of when they're looking at negotiating a policy with management?
Yes, John. We had a very short training session with some of our reps in the region, just looking at negotiating, but trying to sort of pin it down to just looking at, you know, well, what would happen if the management came and said, well, we want to change this policy. So not looking at the really big things of negotiating pay, negotiating teaching hours, things like that. It was more, the day-to-day stuff that reps come across all the time. But on this occasion, we sort of focused in on a sickness policy. And of course, whenever management come wanting to negotiate something, it's usually because they want to make it worse. But, you know, it is an opportunity for the union to try and get something better for members. And sometimes that you know, is possible. So we looked at what the issue was, what was the employer trying to achieve, whether or not the plans they had would achieve that. And then, you know, think about how we would plan some bargaining sessions and where we might try and get to. So we looked at what initially we started looking at, well, what sort of information do reps need? Where might they look for that information? And of course, the main thing is talking to members. You know, what do members feel about this? How important is it to them? Now, if you're talking like something like a sickness policy, of course, it doesn't always impact on that particular time. And I think, you know, what we would want is the reps, you know, ensuring that members sort of think about, well, what might happen in the future and what would, you know, what sort of protection would you want your employer to be giving you? So it's really important to speak to members to get their feel about things and what they would want to see. Is there anything in particular that they feel that the union could ask for? And clearly, you know, your other fellow reps as well might have some ideas on that as well.
I suppose, you know, in colleges, some people have been there for quite a number of years and will have a lot of experience about working in FE and will know people who've been off sick either for long periods of time or short periods of time. So I suppose it's quite important to tap into that wealth of knowledge that our members have.
Certainly. And our members will, you know, if you're recently started working in the college, then, you know, the members will have a better idea of how things were in the past, how they might have changed previously, you know, what promises might have been given previously. So yes, that's really important to tap into that.
And just thinking about what other information there is, I mean, obviously, yeah. one of the sources of information would be the UCU website, you know, Indeed. Where you could find things. Are there any other sources of information? ACAS, well, maybe?
There's certainly ACAS. I would recommend looking at ACAS, but also the TUC website and some of the webinars that they've done recently have been excellent, and I believe that you can get those online. UCU itself has a YouTube channel, and there may well be helpful things on there, but certainly the websites, and you might, you know, I mean, just sometimes just doing a Google search, it's amazing what you can come up with. But one of the things that we talked about in the session was about contacting other institutions, because it's important to find out what's happening elsewhere, because you can be sure that's what the employers are doing. We know that their HR teams meet with each other regularly, so they get information about what's going on in the region. They don't always necessarily reflect that in their discussions with the reps, so it's important that the reps can use the network of other reps in other colleges to get information about what's happening in their institutions. And I always find that helpful, because, you know, the management will come up and say, oh, well, you know, most of the colleges in the region are doing this, that and the other, when I know for a fact that perhaps isn't quite as true as they say. So, you know, that's really important to speak to other people.
And the other thing that you mentioned earlier on was about the attitude of the employer, so the attitude of the management side and what they're trying to get out of it, what they're trying to achieve. How important is that in kind of getting to an understanding about what they're doing and getting a resolution at some point?
It certainly is crucial, because it's often a management might react to an issue. For example, they believe that, you know, their rate of sickness is worse than other institutions, and therefore they want to get that down. But actually changing the sickness policy might not be what, you know, whilst it might mean that it's not, you know, they might reduce, for example, sick pay or whatever. So it might financially be better for them. It might not actually change the fact that, you know, their sickness rates are high. It's often questionable as to whether or not, you know, they often benchmark against other colleges, and it's always important to ask the question, well, who is it that you've benchmarked against? Are they the same type of college? You know, where are they in the country? I mean, we do know that there are health differences in different parts of the country, so, you know, sometimes it's worth just checking those things. But actually changing the benefits for people, for example, who are off sick, isn't necessarily going to achieve what you're saying you're setting out to achieve. And that's where I think often some of the work that the TUC is doing around the Good Health at Work Award and things like that can be useful to say, well, perhaps you should consider, you know, how you can reduce sickness levels through other means before actually taking some benefits from people. I mean, we have to remember that a lot of our members now, the reason that they're working in the sector is because of some of the additional benefits that they're getting, such as, you know, the sick pay schemes, leave, things like that, when they could actually be earning a lot more in private industries. So, you know, it's like the whole public sector. The benefits, it's a whole package. And, you know, clearly, if things can be achieved in a way that doesn't have a negative impact, I mean, particularly something like sickness, which is likely to have a negative impact depending on age, depending on disability and things like that. Looking at what else they might do instead is always a good place to start.
So that's quite a lot to kind of look at, isn't it? I mean, so we're looking at, first of all, what the employee is trying to achieve and how they're attempting to do it and trying to kind of dig beneath that. Then we're looking at all the kind of information that's around in terms of what union policy might be, in terms of what other advice there might be from external agencies like ACAS or the TUC or what have you, and other kind of institutions near to where the college is. And then we've got, you know, what members think. Yeah. How do we kind of pull all that together? I mean, what kind of, that's quite a lot. What kind of advice can we give to reps when they're kind of going through this process? I mean, obviously we can help them along with it and be involved.
Of course we can. But I always think that it's good to have some of these things written down. If you're going into a meeting, for example, it's helpful to have, even if it's just bullet points, making sure that, you are making your arguments and you're developing your arguments, thinking maybe of some of the counter arguments that might come back. But having a clear idea, I think what's important is having a clear idea of what we want to achieve and, you know, how we might get there. What we might give on in order to get something positive back. So it's having those ideas and having a plan of how you're going to present the arguments, I think is helpful.
And I suppose I'm just thinking, a bit more broadly here, because it won't just be us as a trade union who are going to be impacted. It could well be other trade unions as well, if they're recognised. So perhaps one of the things that needs to kind of be borne in mind is, well, you know, if Unison are recognised there and there's representatives, we need to find out what they're thinking about the changes, if they're going to impact on them, which they will do if it's a sick pay policy. And then I suppose it's quite important for our side and the trade union side more broadly to make sure that we have pre-meetings so we can kind of like work out what we think about things before going into meetings with the other side. Are there any other things that you can think of where, you know, reps kind of need to be aware of, you know, in this whole process?
I would absolutely agree with that about working with other trade unions. And there may also be an active student union in the institution as well. So it would be important to speak to them. And there may be other people outside of the organisation For example, we've done a lot of good work with the regional TUC, looking at the Dying to Work Charter and getting that into some of our colleges. And we've done that with other unions as well. And there may well be other people out in the community, depending on what the issue is. You know, you might want to contact people, you know, who are involved, say, in disability rights or MPs. You know, it does depend on what the issue is. But, you know, just thinking about the allies that you could get and, you know, people that you might want to influence. Certainly, you know, I know that the principals, you know, do take some interest in what MPs say to them, for example. You know, just thinking as widely as possible, depending obviously on what the issue is.
Well, that's really helpful. Thanks very much for all those tips for people in negotiating, and in particular looking at a policy like ill health and sick pay. Thanks again for coming on the podcast, Joyce.
That's no problem, John.
Thanks very much then to Joyce for her tips on negotiations for our reps, not only in colleges, but in universities as well. Now, this episode is going out on the 16th of July, and we heard news yesterday on the 15th of July of some very successful ballot results in further education right the way across the country. Members of UCU in 15 further education colleges in England have voted for strike action. Colleges were balloted in a row over pay, and staff at three colleges that are part of Capital City College Group London have also voted to strike over working conditions and compulsory redundancies alongside of pay. An overwhelming 89% of members who voted backed strike action, on average a turnout of over 62%. UCU said the turnout and the vote for action reflected the anger that staff feel over having their pay held down for such a long time. The pay ballots covered Carshalton College, City College Plymouth, City of Bristol College, City of Liverpool College, Croydon College, Kingston College, Lambeth College, Merton College, New College Swindon, Sheffield College, Wandsworth and Tooting College and Weymouth College. The working conditions, compulsory redundancies and pay ballots covered City and Islington College, Westminster Kingsway College and the College of North East London. Staff are angry that the employers' body, the Association of Colleges, recommended a pay offer of just 1% in December 2020, a decision that was criticised not only by the University and College Union, but also by Unite, Unison, GMB and the National Education Union. After years of UCU's joint campaigning with employers, Further Education won £400 million of increased government funding. £224 million of that arrived in August 2020 and should have been used for staff pay, with the AOC indicating it would make more of a significant pay recommendation as a result. Now, people may well know that the pay gap between college and school teachers currently stands at around £9,000, as staff working in further education have suffered real-term pay cuts of over 30% in the past 10 years. UCU is demanding a pay increase of greater than 5% in an effort to start to close that gap between school and college pay, after more than a decade of below-inflation FE pay increases. UCU said the employers have until September to meet its demands or they will face strike action. Joe Grady, the General Secretary of UCU, said this ballot result is an emphatic message from college staff to principals that they will not sit back while their pay is held down. Thanks to UCU's campaigning, colleges received an injection of government funding, but they have failed to work with us to prioritise pay. Instead, employers recommended a derisory 1% pay rise. That is a real-term pay cut. college leaders urgently need to come back to the negotiating table or they will face severe disruption in the autumn. Watch for more news from UCU on our website, ucu.org.uk. Thanks for listening, and please don't forget to share this episode and to like, favourite, subscribe, and to make sure that our podcasts get to as many people as possible. Thanks for listening now.